Now we're going to look at the readings for this 29th Sunday. The theme is vicarious suffering. It's placed right here as we're drawing toward the end of the summer into the fall. We pick up this theme of vicarious suffering. So the first reading is two lines from Isaiah 53, and then the gospel is our Lord describing his future when the disciples want to sit at his right and left. And he says, you don't know what you're asking. I have a baptism, and that baptism is a crucifixion. Are you ready for that? Because they're still interested in being big shots. And we'll see that when we get there. So, it was the Lord's will to crush him with pain. By making his life as a reparation offering, he shall see his offspring, shall lengthen his days, and the Lord's will shall be accomplished through him. I'll come back to that. Because of his anguish, he shall see the light. Because of his knowledge, he shall be content. My servant, the just one, shall justify the many. Their iniquity he shall bear. This is taken, as I'm sure you recognize, from Isaiah 53, which is the servant song, the fourth of the servant song. This is what we read every Good Friday. It opens up this whole message of vicarious suffering. This whole, starting with 52:13 and going down to 53:12, is this servant song, the fourth of the songs. Why does the church want us to do this now? Well, here we are in October, we got through the summer, the bustle of life, getting ready for school and everything else. Stop and think. To what do you owe your life? To what do you owe your peace? To what do you owe your future? The act of love which Jesus performed on the cross. That's where it all comes from. So let's stop and think about that, because we are invited to join him, which will be the gospel. At every Mass, we're invited to join him. That's what the Mass is. Jesus, fixed in the act of love in which he died, now radiant and glorious in a transformed body, under another form now, bread and wine. And so, you see, the text says, Yahweh literally was pleased, to crush him with pain. Why? This is where we get to see the real meaning of the dimensions of hell, but deeper still, the love of God. I can remember a very beautiful statement just came out in class with Father Lyonnais years ago. I think we were studying the letter to the Romans. But anyway, he said, you know, people say, if you want to see the meaning of sin, look at the cross. He said, no. Look at the cross, you see the meaning of love. If you want to see the meaning of sin, look at hell. That's where it goes. Which is very profound. So, we're looking here at what the Lord did out of love for us, you see. It was the Lord's will. You know how this text begins, right? It starts way up in 52. Behold, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised on high. It starts off with great positive note. And then the people come in saying, we couldn't even recognize him as human. It was so bad. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond that of man, and his appearance beyond that of mortals. mortals. So he shall startle many nations. Because of him, kings shall stand speechless. For those who have not been told shall see, and those who have not heard shall ponder. And now the bystanders begin to speak. Who would believe what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And so it goes on to describe him, you see? And it goes all the way down to our verse 10. It was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured. We thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted. This is where we go to understand the love of God. God is this person. God became man. God became this offscouring. You see, we were even afraid to look at him. You see, oppressed and condemned, he was taken away. And who would have thought any more of his destiny when he was cut off from the land of the living? You see, and then the text goes on to where we are now. You see, if he gives his life as an offering from sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, you see, by making his life a reparation, because it was the Lord's will to crush him in infirmity. But because of that, you see, making his life as a reparation, he shall see his offspring. That's us, you see, and lengthen his days, eternal days. And the Lord's will shall be accomplished through him. Isn't that marvelous? What's the Lord's will? Our salvation. We have sinned. We're born in iniquity. We're conceived in iniquity. We sin. And God, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, forgives us all and brings us to eternal life. It is our sufferings, okay? As the text goes on to tell us, oppressed and condemned, he was taken away. But it was our sufferings that he was bearing. This is love. See, my professor said, you don't see the meaning of sin when you look at the suffering servant. You see the meaning of love. You have to look at the hell to see the meaning of sin, because that's where it goes. That's where it leads. Just awesomeness of this. And this text, this whole theme on this 29th Sunday, just bursts into us. We haven't been prepared for this. But the church wants us to start thinking this way as we're drawing toward the close of the liturgical life. Okay. And now, the second of these texts, which I'll begin now, and then if I don't finish, we'll lead it into the next section. Having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Listen again and now. For we do not have a high priest unable to know by experience our weaknesses. Having been tempted in all ways, in keeping with the likeness, meaning according to his human nature is as human as ours. You see? Without sin. So he's vulnerable, he's lonely, he's insulted, he hurts, he suffers. And this suffering is ours. Let us approach then with assurance the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace at the right time of need. You see, this gift we have. That's why, when you look at the cross, you gaze at the heart of Jesus, the pierced heart. And the Holy Spirit will take your spirit and bring it to that heart, and through the heart, you will catch a glimpse of the love between the Father and the Son, which is at the very root of our salvation. Without that act of love, we would have nothing to look forward to but death. And that's why that first reading was telling us about this servant who suffers what we should be suffering so that we don't have to suffer it. And that's this vicarious suffering. Huh? There are intimations of it earlier. Moses, for instance, in the book of Exodus, when God says, "Leave me alone. They've sinned. They've made a golden calf," and said, "That's your God. That's the one who got you out of Egypt. I got them out of Egypt because I love them. And that's what they're doing. Leave me alone. I want to blot them out." He's waiting now for Moses to say something. And he knows what he's going to say, you see. He says finally, "If you blot them out, blot me out too." That's what he wants to hear. That's what he wants to hear. And you can see, you see, that that is foreshadowing. That's the mystery of Christ. When you hear those words, you hear Jesus Christ. "If you blot them out, blot me out too." This is this unsurpassable mystery of vicarious suffering. You see it? See? This people has indeed committed a grave sin. The text says it's hatag hagedula, the great sin. The great sin is adultery. They're not faithful to you. The one who saved them, rescued them, has just given them the law, and they're down there worshiping a piece of metal and saying, "This is who got you out." You see? "If you would only forgive their sin, if not, then strike me out of the book that you have written." That's Moses. That's Christ. You see? "The Lord answered, 'Him only who has sinned against me I will strike. Now go and lead the people thither. I'm not going to blot them out.'" Because Moses stood in the breach, as it says in one of the Psalms. Now do you see the meaning of intercession? You see? Now do you see why the saints suffered? Look at Faustina. Look at Therese. They carried this sin. And in Christ, shared Christ's sufferings and made them present again on earth. Through Christ. Through these people. "I live, now not I, Christ lives in me." So these saints are carrying the suffering of Christ for the salvation of the world. Therese, the end of her life, who lived by hoping for heaven, was absolutely convinced in her mind and in her emotions, "There's nothing. They're going to put me in a hole in the ground, and that's it." She lived that way for years, with just the tiny, tiny little pilot light of faith burning. She sanctified that, and that's why, though they don't know it, she's the patron saint of atheists. Because she lived the life of an atheist in those last years of her life when she was sick and dying of tuberculosis and everything else. You see, because she offered herself as a victim to the merciful love of God. Exactly like Faustina. Exactly like Gertrude and Margaret Mary Alacoque before them. So you see, in the midst of our summer, our fall, we're brought into this unbelievable mystery. Not to make us sad or frightened, but to overwhelm us with love and gratitude and say, "Jesus, I want to try that a little bit. I can't take a lot of it, but I want to love you enough to let your suffering be here on earth where it can radiate out to people."